Hey, what's up? Whatever. Hello. Welcome to TV Casualty. I am your host, Micah Brucey, and this is my podcast, obviously, since I'm the host. But yeah, it's about TV shows I haven't seen before. If you're not a well-versed listener of my podcast, and if you're not, fuck off. I need everyone to know everything I've ever done. I need you to go back and I need you to listen to every episode. I need you to take deep, hard notes. I need you to know my stance on everything or you're not going to like what I do. I mean this deeply. I need my fans, who are right now at zero, zero fans, to be deeply and utterly obsessed with me, or else I'm out of the business. And then people are going to be like, Mike, leave. Get out of the business. And I'll be like, okay, well, good point. So welcome to the podcast. Oh, yeah. And this week we have a beautiful guest. Ooh. He's a comedian. He's also a podcast host. Wow. Oh, and hell, he's just a great guy. It's Tom Takkar.
Wow. For me,
yeah, hell yeah, baby. Ooh, thanks for doing doggy. It.
Beautiful, huh? Yeah. I think somebody's hitting on me.
Yeah. Listen, this is the number one horny TV podcast on iTunes.
I listen to a lot of TV podcasts, but I come to this one when I'm boned up.
Yeah. Listen, you can listen to whatever horseshit NPR is putting out about TV. None of them will be horny. None of those hosts are horny.
None of them. You think Ira Glass has ever had an erection?
God, that guy probably fucks so softly. Ugh. I bet you he calls it making love not as a joke.
Act one. I'm coming. He lets him prematurely ejaculate. Yeah.
That's a This American Life. I'm coming too quick. Act one. Oh, and act three.
Sorry. Oh, act three.
Best part, act three.
Wow, what a great podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Thanks so much for listening. You want to do some plugs?
Yeah. I'll be on Stern.
Yeah.
I'll be on Marin.
I'm actually going to be on At Midnight next week.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm going to be trespassing on the set of At Midnight.
I'm going to be stealing their podium.
Yeah. I'll just be out there screaming points to no one.
Yelling puns.
Yeah. I mean, At Midnight just ended recently. And
speaking of TV casualties,
yeah,
casualties.
A true TV casualty is At Midnight.
At Midnight, got him points.
Points, but I think I don't know if it was a detriment to my career or not, or no, because I don't really have one.
Well, now we have to start roast battling.
Yeah, but I mean, every 3 to 4 months,
uh-huh,
I would take whatever the At Midnight hashtag was and just tweet at them that to kill me. I would just be, they'd be like, At Midnight, I'd be like, please end my time on this horrible earth. Hashtag old bands. And I would do that. And more than one time, someone would like private message me and be like, like, this is funny, but are you okay?
Yeah. That would be a great suicide note. Yeah, just all in hashtag points me.
Yeah. Just tweeting at midnight my serious mental illness.
But no. I had a weird thing. I think, like, that points me thing was like the drunk texting of comedy, where you're like, I'd like wake up and look at my tweets and delete them all in the morning. Like,
yeah,
if I tweeted it at midnight, I was like, I gotta get rid of all this. I'm sure my friends hate me. But I was in a situation where one of the people who worked on that show told me to do that. They were like, seriously, like, you could get on the show from doing this. And like, we're looking at you. And I was like, why don't you just book me then?
Yeah,
I don't want to have to do this.
Just, like, have me on the show.
Yeah, it's because I wasn't good enough.
Yeah. That's such a weird thing.
It is very embarrassing, though. I would look back and just be like, what the... Because you're so desperately trying to find what people haven't done. You're like, a gay book.
That's we were just talking about, like, before we started, we were talking about how quickly podcasts can get to inside comedy stuff, and
yeah
I'm about
here
to get
we
very,
are.
Here we are. But even worse is because, like, now that I've been doing comedy for a while,
uh-huh,
my Facebook feed is almost all comedians, and the worst is looking at Facebook with someone that has their Twitter linked to their Facebook.
Oh,
so
for
then
sure.
Their At Midnight tweets are like just like posted on Facebook, and you're like, this doesn't even make sense on this platform.
Yeah, yeah, this isn't for this at all.
Yeah, this is wrong.
You don't at anybody on Facebook.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And they're just, and it's like people's moms commenting, like, what's happening at midnight? What are you talking about? Why do you hate Harry Potter?
I'm not glad it's over because it was good for a lot of people.
Yeah,
it was great for, honestly, because I tour with Nikki Glaser, and for her, audiences were coming out from that show.
From At Midnight,
I think for her, Ron Funches and, a couple other people.
Yeah, I think, Mike
huge.
Lawrence that helped a
lot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like people whose comedy already kind of lent itself to that.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like most comedians. I mean, I know a lot of comedians who are not charming, but if you're charming and funny enough on the show, it was the thing where it was like, I didn't particularly think the show was funny.
Right.
But it wasn't also, it's not really for me.
No, it's not for us. It's for these dumbass bumpkins who can't think of a fucking pun on their own.
Yeah.
But dumb pieces of shit.
But it employed so many comedians.
Oh, for sure.
And it gave a lot of people their first real TV
spot.
Absolutely.
So
I think anything like that is as corny as it seemed, because I'm not a big pun guy anyway.
Uh-huh.
So as corny as it kind of seemed, it was I think all in all, it was good for comedians.
Yeah, absolutely. It was premium blend, except for you didn't have to burn material.
Yeah, exactly. So you could just go on there and then, because they had
this is so inside now.
Yeah. But they had a bunch of writers that were good comedians. So it's so even you didn't even have to really write that many jokes. You could just kind of,
You could use their stuff. But one of the things about that show that people don't understand is they think that the comics are thinking of the stuff on the spot.
Yeah.
Which I remember the first couple months, I thought that and I was like, fuck. This show's hard.
Yeah, then you realize everything is pre-written.
Yeah,
and
very quickly I was like, wait, not quickly enough. Honestly, it took me 2 months, and I was like, oh, of course they didn't think of that. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
I'm a dumbass. I don't understand TV.
I really, for something I really want to be on, I truly do not understand how it works at all. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
I have a whole podcast about it. I haven't learned one more thing about TV since this started.
I don't understand how it works. It's like, do you shrink down into the TV?
It's like, okay, you're not in my home, but you're in my home. And it's like, listen, I didn't invite Drew Carey over, but here he is, and I love him.
The original points, man.
Listen, I'll say it right now. Drew Carey is better than Bob Barker.
No, wow.
I don't really have that stance, but.
Yeah, it's weird that Bob Barker was a sex symbol of some sort. Have you heard about that?
I know he would fuck a bunch of the
He would get
models.
Nudes in the mail all the time.
Really?
Yeah, half the Price is Right mail was naked people.
Fuck, dude, I gotta get a TV show.
Yeah, man.
So I can get nudes in the mail.
Dude, I've been waiting to get these nudes for that's my long play. I got into comedy to get nudes eventually.
Listen, to be honest, you didn't even have to do comedy. You could have just been on message boards in the mid-2000s.
Oh, believe me, I was on those boards.
Yeah.
One time, I was on a chat room once. I've told this on my podcast before.
Don't worry, no one's heard it.
What the fuck? Is this the Roast Battle podcast?
This is the worst version of Roast Battle. The one you can't even see.
No, I used to have I a couple of times cybered on Neopets.
Oh my god!
And there was a chat room where you could name yourself, and I named myself Hot Guy.
Not even Hot Guy 69 or anything.
No, I didn't think of that.
Just
know
Hot
what that
Guy.
Was. Yeah, yeah, just Hot Guy, and boy, it worked like a charm.
Oh god! I used to. Oh god.
Put your shirt back on.
Yeah,
Mike,
I'm just so boned up because of this Neopet cybering story. But no, especially in high school, a lot I was just in chat rooms, really doing some good amount of cybering.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was a weird thing. End of middle school, beginning of high school, I was really into it.
Yeah,
and then I had this weird part where I was just like, I don't do that. And then around 18. Or 19, I would I started posting on this hardcore and punk message board.
Yeah.
And then it was a weird thing where it was a lot of it was it was huge. There was thousands and thousands of members on it.
Yeah.
And just there was so many stories of people like hooking up from meeting on this message board.
Wow.
This is a very time capsule thread.
Wow,
but
yeah.
there was a thread where you could put your BlackBerry Messenger PIN number, which is basically like instant messaging on BlackBerries.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had one, and I put mine on there, and yeah, like it would be like it would be people you kind of knew from the board that you'd like, because it was like a thing where it would just be threads about like what's your favorite record of the last 2 months, and then it was like also like big tit threat. It was like the gamut, like you could talk about anything, and there was no real
holy shit.
But so I got from the BlackBerry Messenger thread, I got this girl's PIN, and we were like we're messaging. And then she ended up flying to New York to visit me.
What?
And we dated for 3 years.
Oh my God, Mike.
Fully insane.
That is insane.
She lived in Canada and I lived in upstate New York.
Wait a second.
I know.
Canada.
I know. But yeah, so we met from the BlackBerry Messenger pin thread on the Bridge 9 message board.
That is crazy.
And then we dated for almost 3 years.
That is crazy. Just think, when I was a kid, a BlackBerry was a sweet treat you ate in the summertime.
And I was using it to see tits.
You were using it to bang people out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All on a BlackBerry.
I mean, it was not the businessman's tool that it was designed for originally. I was using it for love, honey.
Ooh, love, honey. Yeah. That's what I call it when I...
Come. when I come yellow.
Come.
that's where you stop on that Green Day song. You're like, when I come, you never get to
when
arrive.
I come.
Oh wait.
Woo doggy.
There's not enough songs about cum, you know? That's what
I
always say.
Yeah, that's true. There's songs... Take Off My Pants and Jacket.
There's songs about coming.
Yeah, but not enough songs about actual cum. That's true. We should make one.
I think so. We should make at least one.
It's wet. We're
like, oh, we got to make this new song about something that nobody ever talks about. And we use like,
that's the beat.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come. It's white and fluidy.
There was like a... There was some...
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
I never intended for this to happen.
Oh, I did. There was some rapper that used like... Like, in like the early 2000s. I can't remember who the fuck it was. But it was like a weird like... kind of nursery rhyme that he turned... like, but not like the Jay-Z anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like... It was like almost, I think it was like a song from Pinocchio or something. Like it was like really odd that someone would use this to like make a beat and you're like, hey, it kind of worked.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could remember who
it was. That's a fun idea to take like some nursery shit, like the Itsy Bitsy Spider, but you're making it about like boobs.
Yeah, yeah. And not to like, not do the thing where you like, oh, like a cool kids show where they like take the Itsy Bitsy Spider and then turn it into a rap about the Itsy Bitsy Spider. Like they just make it like sound like a cool rap song. Oh, that's there's this. Speaking of television, no, there's this. I was watching a boxing match on like the ESPN app.
Wow, you tough guy.
No, I'm not. My
tough guy.
Yeah, it's me. I'm a tough guy. Tom thinks I'm a tough guy, and it's a fun bit. But I was watching. But like when you watch it on like the ESPN, when you watch anything on the ESPN app, they like you can watch it live. But then they like have this weird thing where they like will either like just black out during commercial breaks or show the same commercial over and over again
that's
the whole
a form
time.
Of torture.
Yeah. And there was this one commercial because this was only a couple weeks ago. Where there's like, it's just like a commercial about this guy who's like a rapping teacher.
Yeah.
And it is like, I want to claw my eyes out and fly to wherever this guy teaches and like beat him in front of his students.
Boy, you got
to
claw those eyes out last in that step up.
Yeah. No, I go there and I just have bloody eyes.
Honestly,
and I'm just like, ah!
It might be better if your eyes are gone because then people go easier on you after you beat the shit out of a guy.
Yeah.
Like, well, it was kind of impressive. Yeah, and brave. Yeah.
He found this rapping teacher.
This handicapped man was able to do this.
It's just always like all that shit or like Hamilton, where it's like the lowest form of rap.
Yeah.
But it's still like they're rapping because the guy's like, math is cool and math is fun.
That is Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
I made $2,000 to see that. Rap is cool and math is fun.
Yeah. Wait, did you actually see Hamilton?
No, I haven't seen it. Okay. I don't live in a basement, Mike. Yeah.
I mean, but that's the weird thing where it's like, I know, like you and I are it's like a weird thing to be like, we're comedians who actually don't have any money. But it's like weird things where it's like we have like, it's like friends you see like out at open mics or like at like you do shows with and stuff, and you're like, oh, we're kind of on the same playing field, and then you see them like how do you know someone with a boat?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, or you're like, how
Tommy
are you,
McNamara?
Like, yeah, piece of, or like, how are you at Hamilton?
Yeah,
yeah, and it's just like, what the fuck?
No, I like go back and forth. When I moved here, I had more money because I had saved some up, and then you get wildly depressed and spend it all, and
yeah. But I think like it's a thing where it's like there's a difference between like having a little bit of money and uh-huh. like coming from money. Where it's just like,
absolutely,
yeah. Where it's like, oh, because I have like a little bit of money right now for the first time in forever. Uh-huh. And for me, that's just like having over $2,000 total.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I'm rich. like this has happened to me like once before in my life. And it's not much more than 2,000. I'm looking at that bank account every day and I'm like, oh, it's getting close to dipping under.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's like a thing where it's like, if I go back home to like visit my, which isn't that far, but if I could like go to my mom's house, it's like, if I post pictures of the house, people aren't going to be like, oh, look at this house.
Oh,
and it's
for
like,
sure.
It's
because
it's not
even here.
Yeah, it's like not the house
I'm
grew
from
up
Indiana,
in. Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
Shitty. Yeah, but it's funny how there are a lot of comics in New York. I feel like New York is the first place I experienced it. A little bit in Chicago, because there are comics who are open about it. Like, Gailey is like,
oh, yeah.
But people, and like Drew Michael has a bunch of fucking money, but I don't know if you know him.
I know.
But there are comics here where you do open mics with them, and then you see their apartment, and you're like, oh, shit,
oh,
why are you doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're funny, but it's
yeah,
like,
be like, you don't have to do this. Your life seems fine.
Yeah.
Anytime someone's like, oh, I did this, or this when I was growing up, I was like, you got to do stuff? What
yeah,
the hell?
I remember I was dating this girl once who was telling me this sob story about how, like, she was only able to get her family had horses, but she only had one of them. And I was like, you were telling me a story about how you had ponies.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's like a sob story on your end. And it's like, that's insane to me. I can't relate to that. That's like what people talk about is like, it's like a dream thing.
Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
a pony.
I remember.
Ponies fucking suck. I'm going to go out on a limb.
I am staunchly anti horse in general.
People are going to be mad at this.
I hate. Fight me.
Oh.
Anyone.
Horses. They should be running free. We shouldn't own them. And
they should. They should all. Every horse should be drowned in the ocean. I hate them.
Horse, what's a horse but a big deer?
Yeah. That's a dog from space. I hate them.
That's a unfriendly dog,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
God, I had one bad, it's like a weird thing where it's like, as soon as I say it out loud, I'm like, oh, that's how racists think. But I'm like, I had one bad experience with a horse, and now I'm like, every horse should die.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a horse neighborhood, so yeah. I understand.
I don't remember what state I was in. I was in somewhere in the South, and I was with my friend. I was, like, on tour with my friend's band,
mm-hmm.
and we stayed on this, what I thought was just, like, a house with a big yard, but I guess it was, like, I didn't see how far back it went, and I guess it was a farm.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, because we got there late at night, and we just kind of, like, went, like, they were just like, oh, yeah, you can just come inside. So we just, like, went inside, and I swear to God, I'm in the morning, I'm peeing. This isn't even my bad experience, but I'm peeing in the bathroom, and they have just, like, a big open window, and literally a horse just sticks its head, like, into the window to be like, what's up? I see you there. And I was just like, ah, ah, ah. Just, like, freaked out, and everyone's like, what's up? I was like, there's a horse with its head in the bathroom. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? I was like, and I asked the guy who lived there, and he's like,
oh, yeah, that's just the horse. He just sticks his head in the window all the time. And I'm like, you got to warn people about a bathroom horse. All
right, I'm going to be honest. I love the idea of a bathroom horse. But that's like a kink of mine. I want a horse watching me shit. Like the idea of like it being, you know how people have those like heads on their walls, like mounted on their walls? The idea of it being a living horse just like looking around all the time.
It's just like, cause
and you feed it and stuff, but it doesn't get, and like let it out of the wall sometimes.
That's where,
for a couple hours every day, it has to have its head. Just in your home wall.
That's where you run into trouble though, with the horse sticking its head in the bathroom and thinks your dick is a little carrot.
I heard a story about that happening.
Is that true?
I heard a story about that happening. A horse was sticking its head through a bathroom window and thought my buddy's a friend of a friend of mine. He thought his little wiener was a carrot and he sucked it off. My buddy came all over the place. Now he only fucks horses. Horse fucked him to death.
Oh,
but, you know,
Mr. Hands.
Yeah, there's a video of it on the internet.
There's some video, I guess. I don't know.
That's so funny. I feel like that's the first video I remember everyone I knew knowing about.
Mr. Hands.
Is that the one where the horse fucks the guy to death?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first video that I remember everybody being like, you seen that horse video?
So
like,
Tom's here to talk about his favorite TV show, Mr. Hands.
Have you guys watched the pilot?
It was actually One and Done.
What was inspired in me when I saw that video was like fear of like, well, that could happen to anybody.
Not that it was like a very, like, I don't want to say controlled situation, but it happened on purpose.
I mean, it's very sad for that dude that he died.
Yeah.
But what are you fucking a horse for, buddy?
I mean,
sometimes things are, what do you do? I'm glad I wasn't born being into horses.
That's like a weird thing where it's like, on one side, you're like, it feels weird to like, it's funny. I think it's like to make fun of like weird kinks that people have.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like funny, but on the other hand, you're like, well, you're kind of just born with it. But it's also like, dog, sometimes you don't gotta fuck a horse.
Sometimes maybe find a horse looking thing, like a horse doll, jerk off to it.
Yeah, maybe
do what you gotta do.
Find someone who'll fuck you while they wear a horse costume. Become a furry.
Yeah, exactly.
Have someone
that's
fuck
what
you.
I've been doing. I make a couple bucks every few weeks. Fucking people with a horse mask. Yeah,
I think it's great. That's like a weird thing. Because, it's like even like furries, I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be around it, but I'm also like, hey, man, if that's how you come, that's how you
furries
come.
Furries is one of those things where I've never looked into it, but I feel like I could get into it.
Like, but, dude, I think.
Like, if I saw the right video, I'd be like, I see where they're going with this.
I think it's because it's the full costume thing. The costumes seem prohibitively expensive.
Like if a lady had a little cute squirrel tail.
Okay, well that's cool. It's like full. Like imagine like a mascot costume, but there's a hole in it for your dick to come out of, and you fuck someone. That's what it's like.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah. There's like because I know people that have like. It's like a little butt plug with like a little tail attached to it, and it's like, oh, that's like fun enough.
Yeah,
it's silly. Yeah, it doesn't like make me horny, but I'm just like, that's fun for you, I guess.
Make me horny.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what does make
me horny.
Austin
Powers.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's not what makes me horny, baby. What makes
that's
me horny?
Not Shagadelic.
No,
baby.
No, that's not my bag, baby. What I like is I like mascot bloopers videos, but then that turn into fucking like a guy in a full horse costume trying to do a front flip and dunk, and then he pulls his big hog out and he fucks you with it. That's what I like. That's my kind of porn.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what's great.
The mascot races, but at the end they all just pile on each other and start fucking.
Yeah, like a big Teddy Roosevelt, like the Washington Nationals one where they're all dressed up as the presidents. You're like, oh well, I guess Teddy Roosevelt's gonna fuck George Washington now, and
they're both gonna fuck this country.
Yeah,
am I right.
And that's what we're talking about today.
That's what we're here to talk about.
Politics, baby. I'm pulling a knife out of a sheet.
Pulling a knife out.
My hand's a little sweaty, and I was scared I was going to cut myself.
I feel like somebody just gave me a switchblade, and every time I open it, it's like I never look cool opening it because I'm so careful.
Yeah.
Because it's like kind of hard to open, and I'm I don't want to cut myself. doing a bit. If I cut my fingers off doing a bit, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
There's no way I won't go down in a knife-related bit. I just bought a machete.
Holy shit.
It was like $7 at Walmart, and I was like, this is funny, and now I just have it. Yeah. And I don't
Walmart
know.
Walmart will do that to you.
Oh, dude. I was going to the beach on Long Island, and I needed a bathing suit and a towel, which is the only things you need at the beach. But I didn't have either of them. And I was like,
you don't even really need the towel. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you're doing.
And I was like, well, while we're here, let's check out the machete section. And I checked it out, and there's one for $7, and now I own it.
That's pretty crazy that it was $7.
Yeah, I bought
too cheap.
Dude,
that's too cheap, man.
I bought a machete, a bathing suit, and a beach towel for $17.
Crazy.
I broke a 20 and got change and got a full outfit for the beach and the world's biggest knife.
That's crazy. Yeah. I did something equally dangerous when I was at Walmart. I was I bought a laundry basket thing and wiffle ball equipment.
Yeah.
All the stuff you need to have a full wiffle ball game.
Yeah.
Now I'm a wiffle ball guy.
You don't want to be I don't ever want to be the guy that's like, Mike has all the stuff for this, so let's have him bring all. I'm like, I don't want to have to carry all the enjoyment for a day to a thing.
Oh, I can't wait to be that guy. I don't know about ever being a dad or anything like that, but I'll be a father of comics where I bring her. I can see myself being the 40-year-old who's bringing around juice boxes for all the comics and bringing setting up activities. Someday.
Yeah, you're
Jake Head basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to get too inside.
Oh, that's way. That's no the most inside. Jake. Yeah, piece of shit, asshole. he sucks. No, all right. We're here to talk about TV.
Let's talk TV, baby. It's my favorite thing.
Is it really?
I mean, it's up there. TV.
Yeah. Let's talk about Friday Night Lights.
Oh, let's.
This was one that I have a list of what I perceived to be prestige television shows that people really like, and this was one that was on it.
Interesting.
Of stuff I haven't seen.
Prestigious.
Well, I mean,
I guess before I watched it, a few people recommended it to me. Where I was like, oh, it's weird that you like this. I wouldn't assume that you like this.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where it's I follow, especially even before I started doing comedy, I follow a lot of comedians, bigger comedians on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And it was a thing that a lot of them would talk about, mm-hmm. which is an odd, it's because it's I watched the first episode and it is not funny.
No.
At all.
No,
it's
is not a funny show.
It's crazy how deeply serious it is.
Oh, it is NBC drama at its height, but it has everything in my opinion.
Yeah.
They build so much in that pilot.
It's crazy. Because the woman I'm dating was over last night. Okay, whatever.
Name dropper.
Yeah. But she had already seen the pilot. Oh no, I watched it at her house. And then she was like, "Oh, I've already seen the pilot, and nothing really happens. So I'm gonna go take a shower."
Oh,
and then I was like, and then
God.
I watched it, and I was like, it all is leading up to one football game,
yes.
the first football game in the season, and it kind of feels like nothing happens, I guess, because it's oh, you're just leading up to this football game, but it's so many little things are set up.
No, everything about that pilot is important.
I think so. Yeah, I think if you took out one thing, it would feel weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that. I just watched it right before I came here.
Yeah.
I've watched it now fully two and a half times.
The whole series?
The whole series.
Okay, yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
As far as dramas go, it's one of my favorites of all time. Because it's not scary Breaking Bad or anything like that, which obviously I love Breaking Bad too, and there's a few I really loved, as far as newer shows, Big Little Lies and Glow is great.
Yeah.
But Friday Night Lights, as far as dramas, there's so much going on, but it's also got just enough of teen angst to it that's fun.
Yeah.
But I think for me it's a show that there's a lot of father issues addressed in it. Coach Taylor plays a perfect father figure for all these kids.
Yeah.
And I just cried watching it.
Well,
again.
Yeah, that was, it was weird because it was like, I didn't cry, but it's like I got a little.
I think part of it, I think the first time I watched that, I wouldn't have cried. Knowing what happens,
it made me
cry. Watching them build it.
I don't even think I got choked up, but I was like, oh, this is like, I got very emotional. Like I felt a lot. Because I was the thing where I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this. And
yeah.
I still don't know if I liked it.
Sure.
But I mean,
I wasn't
like,
sure if you would like it.
Yeah, but I did. I think it accomplished exactly what it set out to do.
Yeah.
I think it is a great example of what it wants to be.
I think that's a great way of assessing it. Because it isn't for everybody necessarily.
Yeah.
Because it's still at its core. I think the football thing is very big in the first few episodes. And, like,
yeah.
It's always this underlying thing. But it's not the only thing in the show. Like,
yeah. But that wasn't even a part. I didn't even really dislike that that much. I think it was just the thing where it was, like, I think I dislike anything that takes itself so gravely serious.
Yeah,
and
that's
like, that had like a little feeling of that in the
first
episode.
That's like the whole, almost the whole show is like that too.
Yeah,
it's like,
oh man.
It's very dramatic. Well, have you seen the movie Friday Night?
No.
So I
don't remember.
I think the TV show is way better.
Yeah. But
I do like the movie. I just think the guy who plays Coach Taylor in the TV show is way better. What is his name? He's like a big actor. He's on a few things. I'm a dumbass. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's fine.
But he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he was great.
The casting of that show is fucking perfect. Everybody nails it. The only people I don't really like on it are, I think Lila Garrity is cast really well, but her character's kind of annoying.
Which
and
one's that?
That's the quarterback's girlfriend.
Oh, the cheerleader, like the head
cheerleader. Yeah.
Okay,
and then
yeah.
That blonde girl, Tyra.
Yeah.
She's kind of a useless character for a lot of the show.
Like the one who just seemed like the kind of, like the girl who just seems to be like trying to cause trouble the entire time.
Yeah, she was like hitting on people. She's
pointless
to the show.
Yeah.
And the rest of the show goes on and they keep trying to redefine her. She becomes a little more interesting as the show goes on, but she's a big part of the second season, which is totally off the rails because I'm pretty sure it was like part of the writer's strike or something.
Oh,
where it got
okay.
They were telling them that the show wasn't like big enough and more drama had to happen.
Oh,
do you care if I say this on?
No. Okay. Oh yeah, this. But I feel like I have to put some kind of spoiler alert thing in the intro, just because it's like we're talking about television shows, and every time we're gonna do spoilers. And people, I've gotten a few messages from people being like, "Oh man, you spoiled this thing for me." I'm like, "Then don't listen to a fucking podcast about the thing."
Yeah.
But also, like, everyone that's done it is, like, a good friend of mine, and I love you. So it's, like, not that bad.
Season 2, if you don't want to know this, give it 30 seconds. Season 2, that girl, the blonde girl, Tyra, and Jesse Plemons' character, who is Matt Saracen's friend.
Oh, like the kind of
weirdo.
He's, like,
the nerdy.
Yeah. I love
that
character.
And he is so fucking good in that show.
Yeah.
He becomes a major character in it.
Yeah.
But in season 2, it's for the worst reasons. They go off the rails because the network told them to raise the stakes. So then the writers were like, "All right, fuck you." And they kill a guy. They murder
oh
a
God.
Man. And then the whole season, they're like trying to figure out how to deal with the fact that they murdered this guy and like not get caught at the same time. And then it all comes tumbling down on them. But it's like, it's in self-defense. They're innocent. But it's like, it's like, why did you not just tell the police immediately? But they're trying to build tension. It doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid.
That's like, I love when they have like when you like find out, well, why did this happen? Like, oh, that's why. Because the network is like pushing.
I love that too. Because when I first watched it, I was like, I hate this season. And the third season is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The last two seasons are some of the last two seasons introduce Michael B. Jordan.
Okay. Because I saw his name on the cast list, but he wasn't in the episode.
He doesn't get introduced until maybe the fourth season.
Yeah.
Maybe the third, but I think it's the fourth. Because another hilarious thing they do in the show Friday Night Lights is, so you watch the pilot.
Yeah.
They set it up as, this is a small town. They don't have anything going on except for football. That's all they care about is high school football.
Yeah,
that
which is like a, that's
all
like,
that matters.
That's like such a foreign concept to me, like growing up in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's the, that's like a Midwest and like South thing.
See, in the Midwest, we cared about football, but like it's basketball mostly in Indiana.
Oh, okay. And, yeah. Indiana's like
NFL football is very big. High school football is kind of big, but
yeah.
And Friday nights were like big for us in high school. I wasn't cool. I wasn't in that scene.
I mean, yeah.
But I was really into basketball and everybody cared. I think everybody cared about basketball. Our like high school won the champion, like the state championship the year after I graduated. Where it was just a big thing in my
community. Yeah.
I didn't care because I was bitter that I didn't make the team.
Oh.
But I relate to this, like this firing up. But the idea of the pilot is this town bleeds football.
Yeah.
It's a tiny town. It's hick. It's kind of country. I think it's the third or fourth season, they shake things up and now there's they have to split up the teams between the team they have now between this school. There's now two high schools this tiny ass town, and one of them is on the ghetto side of town that has never been mentioned ever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden this city is like 80,000 to 200,000 people. And you're like, where did all these people come from? And it's like, it makes the show feel very like, it's very racially tense. And it's like, but it's an element that was never in it before. So you're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, but they make it work so well. Like it, you feel it. Part of it is that Michael B. Jordan is so talented.
But there was like a little bit of that racial tension in like the in
they
the
do
pilot.
That. They do that briefly with Smash.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is supposed to be like Smash is kind of an arrogant asshole.
Because he said the other guy says that in the episode.
He
could
be
like,
any race. He could be from Sweden. It's I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But that's just Riggs being Riggs, man.
Yeah. I mean, that was a weird like making a high school football player character like also a drunk is like such a weird a weird choice.
They definitely do a lot of things in that show to make it a teen drama at times, where it's like it's high school kids banging and like hooking up and then breaking up and all this stuff, and like there's a lot of that. I don't care as much about that stuff until I think the reason I love the show so much is Matt Saracen is such a great character, and I realized rewatching it, they set him up so well in the first episode.
Oh God,
with that scene with his grandma,
the one
made me emotional in the very beginning.
I wrote down a note where I was just like, I love this old lady.
She's phenomenal. Like, but she becomes a very interesting character as the show goes on. She's this lady that. She took in Matt because his dad's not really present, and then his mom, I think, died, and then... Or no, his mom disappeared.
Yeah.
His mom abandoned the family. His dad's kind of a piece of shit, but he's also a vet or whatever. And then he's staying with his grandma, who he's really taking care of. And you see...
Yeah.
He, like, prioritizes her a lot, and, like, their relationship is really interesting to me. But the part where he's like, I made you two tuna sandwiches... And then she's like, why would you do that? I only want one. It gives away so much information in just that line.
Yeah.
Where he has to explain to her, like, you don't have to eat another tuna sandwich if you don't want it.
Yeah.
Because
she's
kind of losing her mind.
Oh,
and, like,
It
establishes this relationship and who he is so well.
Yeah.
And he's this dorky guy, but then he wins the game. And, like, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot for me. I think I relate to that kid so much because... It feels very familiar to me.
Okay, yeah.
And Coach Taylor kind of takes on his dad role, kind of in the way that the comedy club owner in my hometown took on my dad role.
Oh, really?
A little bit, kind of, just because it was a thing. And I sucked when I started, just kind of like how he did.
Yeah.
I think it all lines up for me so well. Like, I just love it so much.
It's like a weird parallel with your real life.
Yeah, but also just everything with Coach Taylor. His relationship with his wife is so good.
Yeah.
It's one of the few... times I can think of in television where they don't like make the wife some shrill lady.
Like she's not like a nagging woman being like, what are you doing?
So often she's right and he's wrong, even though he's the hero of the show a lot of the time. It focuses on her a lot. They build so much out of that pilot, I feel like. Yeah. But also, like, the idea of saying that nothing happens in that episode, the Streets fucking gets paralyzed in the first episode.
I think it was, like, that she had seen it once, like, a while ago, and was like, I think, like, maybe, like,
it
was
I just, do like, get it. You don't need to rewatch it, but rewatching it as somebody who's a big fan of the show, I did get a lot out of rewatching it.
Yeah.
But I want to hear more of your thoughts.
I thought it was good. She actually, because she kind of watched, like, the last half of it with me.
Yeah.
And she brought up a really good point that I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. Where she was like, stuff like this is, like, it really gives, like, men a pass on being emotional. Like sports stuff.
Absolutely.
Sports stuff.
That's
and
so
then
true.
I added sports stuff. So she brought up sports stuff and then I brought up like war stuff. Like
dude,
those two things
for sure,
give men like a pass on like letting them be emotional.
Because there are so few examples of like romantic movies that are geared towards men. And it's like 500 Days of Summer, which is kind of like lame to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I liked it when it came out. I'm sure if I rewatched it, I'd be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But High Fidelity, like, there's really not that many, and especially not many good ones.
Yeah,
and
Garden State, kind
like,
of.
Garden State,
but
yes.
That's, like,
but
a really rough rewatch.
I know. It's one of those movies that I don't want to rewatch because I loved it so much in high school that I'm like, if I watch it now, I know I'll hate it.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah,
I
think
like
that's, like, that's one of the only ones that, like, really holds up.
I think so, too. And even that one gets made fun of, but I love it. Me and Montauk. Let's go.
Yeah.
But I know them all because I feel like I get so emotional in every movie.
Okay,
that, like,
yeah.
But the sports ones, it is a little extra where it is acceptable to be like, oh no, they're gonna lose the game.
Yeah, like it's all right to cry at Rudy.
Yeah,
but it's like weird if you cry at like fried green tomatoes or something like that.
Man, I cry at fucking every movie.
Really?
Yeah, it can be like. Except for like dumbass comedies.
Yeah.
But like, if it's a movie that's supposed to have an emotional moment, I usually get very touched.
Oh,
like
God,
Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh,
the part where they're dancing on stage, I lose it every,
every
fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, God, like,
I
and
wish.
The oh my God, the part where the little girl asks the what's it, the model if she eats ice cream and she says yes, and she says her favorite kind. I'm going to start crying right now just
thinking, like,
thinking
about it.
Yeah. It's any moment that's like where a character's building or you see some piece of reality in something.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what it is. I think it's like seeing something that's real at all. I where they nail it.
Yeah.
It really touches me.
Yeah. Like sports stuff doesn't really get me.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't have like a crazy, like, documentaries will way more than
absolutely
than like a sports narrative movie.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I cried at stuff, but like father son stuff really gets me.
That's the thing.
That's what gets me.
Me too. Absolutely. Maybe more than anything else.
Yeah.
Father son stuff. And there is, this show is jam packed.
Oh yeah.
With father son stuff where it's like, Saracen develops this weird relationship with the coach.
Yeah.
The coach develops a weird relationship with his daughter where it's like kind of hectic, which that storyline is stupid. His daughter like just becomes an asshole. Like,
yeah.
For no reason.
She was kind of rude to begin
with. She's like, that kind of like flirty rude in the first episode.
Yeah.
Where it's
You
can tell she's going to end up dating Matt Saracen.
Yeah.
And she does.
Yeah.
And, their relationship is interesting for sure. But then, she just gets jealous of, like, her younger sister who's born, and it's like, dude, you're 15.
Yeah, that's a really weird
thing. This is not going to happen.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
There's a ton of father-son stuff, so I think that's what made me fall in love with the show, is there's multiple characters that have this relationship with Coach Taylor.
Yeah.
And Michael B. Jordan ends up having one that's, like, devastating. It's so good, and, like, You think when Saracen leaves the show, because
it's like they're on a high school
timeline.
You're
on a high school timeline, so eventually these kids have to leave.
Yeah.
When he leaves the show, you're like, I can't imagine that I would still care about this. And then Michael B. Jordan's character is so deeply different, and like he's just developed so well that you're like, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
I feel just as much about him as I did the other one. And he has a different story that's also upsetting, and like, Coach Taylor is able to like be there for him in these weird ways where you're like, but like, I don't know. It's very father son shit where it's also tough love. Like it's stuff that I like can't relate to, but I think seeing it happen, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Which is the weird thing. Cause it was like my, I didn't, it wasn't like my dad was around. And I have like
Mr. Braggy. Okay. Yeah, I thought that this was a fun podcast. Yeah. Not you just showing off.
Yeah, not just me talking about my dad who was there for me. But he was around, and it's like it was a weird thing where we had a really good relationship when I was young.
Uh-huh.
And now it's not bad, but it's weird.
Yeah.
Like him and I have like a weird, not really strained relationship, but it's like, so like maybe like last year, his birthday is in like actually coming up in like 2 days from now. But so, like, I called him on his birthday, and he never called me back.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it was just, like, a weird – it ended up just being, like, a weird malfunction with his phone. Like, he didn't see that he had a voicemail or a missed call for me.
Yeah.
And then we didn't talk.
I've used that one before.
Yeah. But it was a weird thing where it was, like, we didn't get into a fight beforehand this thing. So it was, like, a weird thing. And then we didn't talk for, like, 4 months.
Ah, shit.
And it just didn't make any sense. But it was, like, a weird pride thing where I was, like, I wouldn't call him again. And he didn't call me because I didn't call him on his birthday. And it was like this whole weird thing. And then it was really just this huge misunderstanding. But then it's like a weird thing. It was like I talked to him on Father's Day.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like the middle of August. So then I'll call him like next week for his birthday.
Yeah.
But then we haven't really talked in between.
You don't have like an every couple weeks. No. Like we're going to talk.
Yeah. I have that with my mom where I call her more often.
Uh-huh.
And she is like is weirdly active on social media. So like she sees my posts and it's just like, great job. Or like, you know,
so then you
like
guys
that.
Have something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have that with my mom where it's like, she's not on social media. So I kind of feel a pressure whenever I call her because I'm like, I'm going to have to tell her what I'm doing and I'm going to have to explain like what is happening in my life and I don't really want to talk about all this stuff. Like it feels weird. So, I feel it. It's weird.
Yeah.
Parents,
but
it's weird with parents.
Yeah. So I don't
so
even know.
They like, can pick up the damn phone.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like a weird thing where it's just like, so it's just like my dad and I have this weird, so like father son stuff going either way, like either if it's like in a movie, like really bad or really good, I'll just like, it's just like, ooh, that gets me. Oh, that'll get me for sure.
Dude, Knocked Up did that to me at the very, even though it's like, it's still, I think Judd Apatow is pretty good about that shit. Like he can nail that stuff sometimes, like being a father, the part where his father doesn't know what to tell him and he's like trying to get advice.
And he's just like, I got nothing.
He's like, I love you. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you want. And it's like, I think that it's hard for me to see stuff like that because it's, I don't know what that is like, but I have that in like a friend basically.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends who fill that role for me kind of. So then I feel like it just reminds me of that where I'm like, somebody who's just kind of there for you and they feel for you and can't help. Like they're stuck in the same fucking shit you are.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I think I get most out of this show, but also it is fun just watching the football.
It was really well, like it looked like a movie the entire time. Like it was shot. So
it's
it was
very cinematographically pleasing. I love the camera style. My sister made her nauseated. She said,
"Really?"
I think some people don't like that shaky cam style.
That stuff I usually don't like, but I feel like this, it works because it feels very familiar watching a lot of like sports documentaries and sports stuff. It's like, I just find stuff like that really like with this, you kind of have to pay attention, but a lot of other stuff you can kind of check in and out, and it's fine.
Uh-huh.
So like I find it's a very familiar feeling with sports stuff. So it's like it doesn't bother me that much.
I feel like the music is really good too.
Oh yeah, it's like part. I remember that was my big connection to it. I never watched the show. But when I was younger, I was like an Explosions in the Sky fan.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of like the scoring
for
all
of the
episodes.
They did all of the movie.
Yeah.
But they do a little bit on the TV show.
Yeah.
And then they'll play some really good songs in the TV show.
Oh,
too.
They played a lot. They played Black Betty in the first episode. And I was like, yeah, that's a song. That's a good song.
I realized when I was watching it today, because I'm having a lot of trouble supporting football anymore because
NFL,
as an industry, it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
They're hard to support. I kind of just want to watch this. I think every August, I'm just going to watch this every
year.
You're just
going to watch Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights. I don't remember the bet, like the scoring or anything.
Yeah.
So,
it was great. I just watched that Netflix Last Chance You. Did you watch that?
I watched the first season. I loved it. I need to watch the second season. So.
I slammed the second season in like 2 days.
Holy shit.
I stayed up all night.
I might watch it tonight.
Yeah. It felt.
I've been staying up till like fucking 5 watching The Office every night.
Yeah. To pull the curtain back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I just finished that recording the episode with JP McDade.
And I was listening through the door. Tom was listening through the door.
But yeah, all three of us are now some way in the middle of rewatching The Office. I feel like at this point in my life, I'm always rewatching The Office.
Well, I realized recently I never finished The Office.
Oh, really?
It was my favorite show. Yeah. I have several Dunder Mifflin shirts. Like, actually, my brother bought me a Dunder Mifflin shirt this year.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. It's fucking 2017.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched The Office in like 5 years. He's just now getting into it because that's how TV in Indiana works. Like, they can't be onto the hip thing.
Yeah,
like,
he's just now watching it.
They weren't ready for that sort of subtle humor back then, and then it got more cartoonish as it went. So
yeah,
it's a little, but
yeah.
The first two seasons of The Office are very cringy at times. For
so
people.
So
like
brutal.
Way more than Curb Your Enthusiasm, which also got a little easier for people.
Yeah.
But I think some people just could not process that kind of humor.
Yeah.
In like, what, 2005?
Yeah.
When it was happening.
Yeah. It was, dude, it's still really hard to watch sometimes.
Oh, like, yeah. Michael has some moments that are tough. I know you guys were just talking about one of them.
Yeah, it's so.
But there's a lot. Like, the episode where Dwight tries to take Michael's job is very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And then Michael pretends like he got it, and then they switch places.
Yeah.
That is like very hard to watch for me.
Oh god, it's like such a, because it's like, it's such a silly character but played so straight.
Yeah,
like he's just like, this is just the way that I like it's.
Yeah,
it's, yeah, it's just like a weird thing where it's like this weird kind of altered reality but inside such a real setting where you're like, because it's a TV show, so you're like, no one would ever act like this, but you're like,
but people do
sometimes.
You know what one is really hard for me is the one where it's when Jim is still working at the other branch and they have that convention where Michael is trying to like party in his room.
Trying to get
a hotel party going and no one comes.
Shows up,
and he's all mad.
God.
That is brutal because I think part of it is that I see a little bit of myself in that guy.
I'm
like, I would probably try to do that. Like, get people to party in a room and be like, I hope people come.
Or like him trying to, I got to the part where it's like him trying, I'm like rewatching now, like him starting the Michael Scott Paper Company. And like
oh shit, I forgot about that.
Oh, dude.
I'm close to it.
That's brutal. Like season, end of season 5, beginning of season 6.
I'm on season 5 right now.
Oh, dude, that, and where Idris Elba is in there as the new branch manager.
Yeah.
It's fucking. That's like some prime, like it feels like prime, like season 2 cringe.
I totally forgot about that. Dude, like, doesn't Pam come with him or something?
Pam and Ryan go with him, and it's like, and they're in the same office building.
I think that's why I stopped watching it, is I was just getting too uncomfortable, and it became, I do feel like it does get less funny at some point.
Yeah.
Like, even season 5, there are some jokes that I'm like, eh. And also, Mary Hulan made this point, and I have been saying this for a little while too, but she
shined
a light
on your
it.
Point.
She kind of stole.
Mary Hulan stole
honestly,
your
Mary's
point.
Mary's been stealing a lot of my things lately.
Mary changed her last name to Takar recently.
You might notice that I have purple hair. Mary Takar.
Yeah.
That's what my mom keeps telling women to do.
Fuck you. Fucking piece of shit. You bring that shit to my podcast. You fucking asshole.
It's funny because, that was stupid as shit. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway. For edit. Jim and Pam are awful. I hate them as characters. Like, when I was a kid and watched it the first time around, I was in love with them. I was like, this is everything. This is my favorite part of the show. Watching their relationship develop. I remember just watching that Jim and Pam first kiss scene. a billion times. Yeah. Like, I used to watch fucking Jim and Pam montage videos on YouTube all the time. Oh, they were like set to Coldplay and shit. I was like, this is everything that I want. Like Coldplay, Jim and Pam. These are all the cylinders I need to be
This
in
is
right
everything
now.
I need.
But now I watch Jim and Pam and I'm like, if Jim fucking put my stapler in Jell-O, I'd be like, is this funny? I don't understand. Like, what
the fuck
funny
are you
about
doing?
This? You're a fucking weirdo, man. Yeah. Like, do you not have a life outside of this office? Like,
yeah.
This is crazy. That's the other thing. Neither of them have much of a life outside of the office.
Yeah.
They're just kind of lame and like, they always act like they're too busy to hang out with Michael, but it's like, what are they doing? That's so fun. Like,
you guys are sitting at your house.
Yeah. They're just being lame too. And Pam never said, like, it's so rare that she says anything funny. Jim, most of the things that he does are just looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, somebody else said it the other day where it was their job for 6-7 years was just be cute.
Yeah.
That was it. It's like not fun on a comedy show.
Yeah. It's a weird, like, how funny everyone else is around them.
Yeah. Like, I always thought Ed Helms was incredible on that show.
Amazing.
And he got a little bit too cartoonish. They made the mistake a lot of shows make where Creed was so funny in the first 3-4 seasons. Then they overdid it a little bit.
They used him too much.
Yeah.
It was, he's funny because he's not there that often.
Yes. And then his points were highlights, like,
yeah,
he was almost comic relief on a show that was sometimes not too dramatic, because it worked, just like friends had dramatic moments too, but people liked it. But yeah, like Oscar and Kevin and Angela, I'd say Kevin is the only one who didn't get too cartoonish,
dude. Yeah. The scene, this is not the first time we've talked a lot about The Office on a show, but dude, the scene where Kevin brings in his big vat of chili and trips and spills it everywhere, I think is one of the funniest things.
I think I'm about to.
Yeah, I think you're close to there. That's I've watched that, just a clip of that. So that's just, I didn't realize that's the cold open to the episode. And he's just talking about how long he takes to make his special chili. And then he trips and spills it all over. And he's trying to scoop it back in with like a clipboard. It's so,
that guy is really funny.
He's so
funny. It's so weird that with that show specifically, almost none of those people were able to do anything else.
Dude. Yeah.
Like that's the only character they were really able to play.
Yeah. Like.
Like
Steve Carell is
Steve Carell's the only one.
One of the only ones. Yeah, and like Ed Helms. But it's like,
oh,
those,
yeah.
But the
already,
two of them already had like careers.
Oh, and
before,
what's her name?
Mindy
Kaling.
Mindy Kaling. Oh, my God. Yeah, obviously. Phenomenal. Yeah, Mindy Kaling and BJ Novak, I guess. I guess
BJ
really
Novak
is a good one.
What is he doing? I mean,
he does
like
a lot of writing.
Stuff.
He does a lot of writing stuff.
Yeah.
He's published
he's very
a couple,
successful.
He's
but
published
he was
a couple
of
books.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, Mindy Kaling has like a, yeah, God, she's so successful and like.
And her, I like her book a lot.
Yeah.
I read her first one. I haven't read the second one.
And
well, this has been really fun talking about The Office.
Yeah. I guess let's talk more about Friday Night Lights, I guess. But it was, yeah, it was, I was shocked. But Last Chance U, that's where I wanted to get to before that.
Yeah.
Where it was like, this, after watching Last Chance U so heavily, so recently, this felt like the dramatized version of that,
yes,
where they feel very close in, because you get the home life stuff, you get the in the locker room stuff,
dude,
and
absolutely,
you get the on field stuff,
yeah,
and it's like you get to see, because I feel like that's a weird disconnect that we have with real athletes, where you kind of see them in one specific way, where you see them on the field and then you see them in interviews.
Yeah.
Right after or before they
sure
play, and that's it. You don't see
any
of the background of why they are this way, why they're so into this thing,
mm-hmm,
why, like.
I also think there's something to someone who's not a millionaire. Like,
yeah,
we see that stuff with NFL players, but somebody who's in college, that's one level, which is impressive, but you're not there yet. A lot of college football players don't make it, vast majority.
Yeah.
But high school is even less. That's what's so interesting about characters like Saracen and Riggs and like everybody except for Streets, who also has an interesting thing, and Smash.
Oh, yeah.
Like all of them are not going to be NFL players.
Yeah.
They're just into football. That's
they just
it.
Like playing football.
And same with Last Chance U. It's like some of those guys are going to make it into the league.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't.
No.
Like, and they're sad. Like, and a lot of it's their own problems, like, yeah, in the way, even though they're talented, they just can't figure something out.
That's, like, such a sad thing where it's, like, you have so much talent and you're so good and you just can't, because of, I don't know if it's, like, because of, like, situations in your family life or just, mm-hmm, like, the like your weird personality defects or weird,
yeah,
even, like, maybe, like, undiagnosed mental illness stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you just can't get your shit together and it's, like, you have so many opportunities and you just can't get your shit together,
yeah,
to, long enough to be able to be successful.
Dude, it's heartbreaking. That she's like a guidance counselor or whatever.
Yeah.
Is she in the second season?
She's
too?
In the second season. Dude, also
in the first season, she's my favorite character. She reminds me so much of Coach Taylor because it's like she's so involved. You can tell she like lives and breathes to get these kids through.
Yeah.
Shit. And it's like heartbreaking because you're like, you know, that's what she, that's all she cares about. And yeah, they're like, some of them, she can tell like they can't get over it. Like they just, there's something going on in their lives. And
yeah,
she knows it's something more than they're just lazy. 'Cause that's not it. Yeah, it's always that they think they're not good enough.
Yeah.
They don't think they can do it. Like it's so good. And they're, that's,
yeah,
I feel like Friday Night Lights is the closest thing,
yeah,
to a sports drama that nails it. Like, I feel like there's no better, and I like, I watch a lot of sports TV shows and movies,
yeah,
mostly movies, I guess. I like, I'm from Indiana. I love Hoosiers. Like, yeah, I watched the movie of Friday Night Lights, watched Coach Carter and Rudy and all,
yeah,
that shit. To me, this is the best thing that's come out, as a dramatization of,
yeah, this felt really sport, good. And oh, fuck, what was that movie? Fox
the
Catcher.
Rugrats movies.
Yeah. You fucking asshole. Did you see Foxcatcher?
That's the one where it's
Steve,
like,
Carell is the wrestling, is like the,
no, I haven't seen,
oh,
that.
Oh, dude, that's great. With Mark, it's Steve Carell and Mark Ruffalo and,
ooh,
Channing Tatum.
I have to see that.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
And it really, and especially because around the same time as it, because it's a real, it's like based on a true story.
Yeah. I got that up with, mixed up with Nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah. But that was like, I remember I saw that on a whim just based on Steve Carell's interview on The Daily Show,
yeah,
and Jon Stewart, because he like, because Steve Carell plays like a much older guy and he,
uh-huh,
wears like a lot of makeup and,
oh,
really,
I've seen clips of him in,
yeah,
it. It looks,
it's
amazing.
It's,
yeah,
amazing. And it's really, and but like watching the documentary, you're like, oh, this is really close. So it's like guys training basically to be on this wrestling team so then they can be Olympians.
Yeah.
But it's like, because there's no, but there's no real money involved in that.
Yeah.
So it's like, but there's a heartbreaking episode of, on the second season of Last Chance U.
Uh-huh.
Or I guess it's kind of spread across two episodes, but they show you one of the teams that they're facing. And they're like,
yeah,
like, and because you're like, oh.
Because that's like, they're the guys that are for sure not going to.
There, it was
the
a
league.
Team that had been like, they didn't have a win in, like, four seasons,
yeah,
and shit like that. They're just, like, this weird little community college in Mississippi that has, like, no one's ever going there to check them out. They're,
yeah,
playing because they like playing football.
Yeah,
and
that's,
it's like, but it's, tough, like, a crazy, because you are viewing Last Chance U in, like, this bubble where you're like, oh, they've already, like, these guys from these D1 schools have hit the bottom.
Yeah.
Playing at this school, and you're like, oh, no. It's like,
yeah,
a crazy
there's
thing.
There's a way deeper,
yeah,
bottom. No, that's how I watch this. Like, well, at least they have this. It's like,
yeah.
It's like if a guy has to go to a D league for a while in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you can bounce back from it, but that's different from going to like, or like minor, it's kind of like minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Like you can get out of minor league baseball.
Yeah, but this
everybody
was the thing.
Everybody kind of has
this
to do
was,
that.
Yeah. Because there was a thing, because there's a, where I grew up on Long Island, there was a, like a minor league baseball team. The stadium was literally like a 10-minute walk from my dad's house, which,
uh-huh,
was like, is crazy. But they're not even, like, they're the Atlantic League. So it's like, they're not even, like, they're not even a baseball. They're,
yeah,
like, they're just another baseball league,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
general. So it was like a lot of guys like. Like, it was, like, John Rocker played there after,
oh,
everything,
yeah, yeah,
and, like, shit like that, where it was, like, oh, this is, like, kind of the last stop. It's either guys that aren't even good enough to get minor league contracts, which,
yeah,
is – the baseball draft is crazy. They draft, like, almost every
– yeah, it's a lot of
college
people.
Baseball player.
Yeah.
So it's, like, guys that either did that and, like, fizzled out,
uh-huh,
or –
guys that never really made it anywhere, or guys that were big 10 years ago in right. Major League Baseball and like kind and definitely fizzled out, and they were just like, I don't have any other skill uh-huh. other than playing baseball, and then they play here, and it's just like a weird, sad baseball team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't
that
know.
That is like, a weird. That you're almost like, I mean, you're essentially a comedian at that point. It's like the same sort yeah. of lifestyle, because your job now is to basically travel, and like, you're like a carny. You're like yeah, you're an yeah. entertainer in like a weird way, where it's like you're just going out to like be ticket sales for something. That,
yeah.
Like, because you're not. It's not like you're gonna be a major player at that point.
No.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Friday Night Lights. It's that even where it's set, because it's set in like kind of the middle of nowhere in Texas.
Yeah,
and it's Dylan, Texas, yeah, yeah. which I don't even know if that's a real.
I don't believe it is. Yeah. I really still need to get a East Dylan Panthers.
There's yeah, like shirt,
jersey,
yeah,
or shirt, or yeah, hat. I want a hat.
Like, but that
any
is
you guys listening have hat money.
if anyone wants
Venmo
to send
Tom A. Brady, yeah, my Venmo is still Tom A. Brady.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to send Tom a, actually, that's a weird tie-in where it's like Tom Takar. The guest today is Tom Takar, who formerly, I guess it's still your legal name, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
And is,
that's why I like Friday Night Lights so much, is my football career.
Yeah. No, but it's like a weird thing where it's like,
I've never made a joke like that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like a weird thing where like people would email you
yeah.
thinking you were Tom Brady, the uh-huh. football player.
I
or
got
like
emails would, like people asking me to like come to their hospital and show yeah. that. And I was like, but at first I would always think it was for me, because I get emails sometimes from
yeah.
weirdos. So then I'd be like, I guess this guy wants me to go to a hospital. And then I'd email back, and then they'd be like, wait, this is the real Tom Brady?
And you're like,
oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
You piece of shit. I'm glad you're in the hospital.
I'm glad you're dying of a broken leg.
You're hoping to figure out that Tom Brady doesn't have a Hotmail account.
But yeah, I don't know. I was like, you know, I've only seen one episode of it, but I felt like Friday Night Lights had like a, it really captured a lot of emotion
uh-huh.
well, but it's such a, that's such a, like, that being that into high school sports and stuff,
yes.
that's such a foreign concept.
Dude,
to me.
I think that's the problem so many people have with that show, and so many people I've tried to pitch it to. They're like, a lot of people are like, I grew up in a football town like that. I know what high school football drama is like. I have no interest. And I always tell them, I could give a fuck about that, honestly, too.
Yeah.
But they do a good job of building characters and, like, making you care about the
yeah.
ins and outs of these families. I mean, the pilot is great. Like,
the pilot
I just feel like the drama that they build, this star quarterback, better than Peyton Manning, potentially,
yeah.
according to this small child.
Yes, you're into a weird child that knows way too much about football.
Yeah. Better than Peyton Manning. He is in the hospital immediately. Like
he fucks up.
Has a very bad neck injury or spine injury.
Yeah,
and immediately that's drama. What's gonna happen with this kid who never played?
Yeah, he was like red shirted.
He was picking trash out. He was picking a wristband out of the trash for one of the coaches.
Yeah.
During practice. He's nobody. Nobody knows him. He's a nerd.
Yeah, he's like a sophomore on like the varsity football team.
But he sucks. He's a backup for the star quarterback who he was never gonna play.
Yeah.
And he's a book nerd. Like, he's like a nerdy kid.
One of those book nerds.
One of those book nerds. He's always looking at books.
Yeah.
Not reading them.
Just looking at them.
Looking
he just
at
knows
him.
A lot about books. He knows about books. He doesn't read them, but
yeah.
he knows about the books.
Now he's got to take over the role of quarterback.
Yeah.
The coach Taylor, he's taking this high pressure job.
Yeah,
where
it's his
if
first
you don't
game.
Win all the time, you will have to move. Like
yeah.
they build that up very well. And now he's got this kid who's got barely any talent, it seems like, except for he shows that glimmer of it with that one pass.
Yeah.
But before that, he's throwing the ball at his
like
offensive line's helmets and shit.
Yeah.
He looks terrible. They do a good job of like, that is what it feels like when you're playing quarterback and you're terrified. Like, they do a good job of that.
Yeah.
They also, now what happens with Jason Street? Like,
yeah,
he was this going to be an NFL elite prospect. Now he, you're going to find out, can't walk.
Like, oh, Jesus.
What now? Like, what happens so with his life now?
Yeah.
And they do a good job of following up with that. Yeah, it's great. I just think it's, I think they set up a lot to be like, oh, shit, there's going to be a lot of weird things that stem from this. This is going to shake up everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like a good, even for like, even if they're just for like the first season, it's like they set up so many different storylines in the first episode.
Yeah.
Because there are some, like, now that I have like watched however many pilots for this show and just like on my, like watching TV shows on my own, there are some pilots where nothing happens.
Yes.
Where they're just trying to set up the world. They're just trying to get you into the world they live in.
Uh-huh.
And this one is set up where I guess it's like this is like, you're like, okay, well there's this. Okay. So yeah, the Streets gets paralyzed basically.
Yeah.
Like there's this weird racial tension on the team.
Yeah. Which will be an issue at some point. Yeah.
There is like, Coach Taylor has to start. Like he, it's like where he gets visited by, was that the last coach of the football team? Like,
I can't remember. Yeah. There's a lot of media people bothering.
But no,
him.
there was a quick meeting with a guy, like in the parking lot, who was basically just like, man, you got to watch out. It was like the older black guy.
Yeah,
I don't know if he
I don't
was
think
the,
he was the old coach. Yeah. I don't remember what. I think he was just a local. There's a lot of scenes with him talking to locals.
Yeah.
Because the locals are the ones who dictate his job, I guess.
Yeah. That was a weird thing where they like brought the football team to the opening of a car dealership.
Yeah.
But there's like, those are the stars of the town.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
It was like, then there's all these little scenes where it's like guys from the town like grilling the coach.
Yeah.
And
it very much feels like, I mean, that's a storyline in a lot of things. In the movie, that's a storyline. In Hoosiers, that's a big part of it. It's like, who are you? You're new in town. This new coach, even though he like rose up, but the storyline of he needs Jason Streets to be successful. He's had him his whole career.
Yeah.
This kid. And now he has to prove that he's good without this quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's like, I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
I remember when I got into the show, it was very much, I was watching it in the background with my roommates watching it a few years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And it's, I think it's rare that can happen with a drama where it caught me, where I was like, wait, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
And like, I got into like their record and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I am going to play. I kind of do want to get together some people who've never seen Friday Night Lights and start a fantasy league.
Yeah, that was like, and just like the mayor of the town, who was a woman, which is like, that's pretty progressive for a Texas town.
Yeah.
But like pulling Streets to the side and just being like, listen, you got to pass. You got to pass more.
Yeah.
And it's like just a wild thing to have like
Didn't
this
that
many
feel
adults.
Real, though?
It
like,
felt
it felt
so
just like
real.
When you're a comic and people come up to you and they're like, well, you should have done this. It's like, well, you don't know anything.
Yeah. You don't do. Oh, dude. God. I've had so many. There was one time I didn't. It was one of the worst nights of my life. I did an open mic. I was still living on Long Island, and I was doing comedy there. I did an open mic, a mixed open mic in a bar on Long Island.
Wait, mixed? Blacks and whites?
Blacks and whites, men and women, all do. No, but it was like music and comedy. Just it on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
and
shit.
I got into a screaming argument with like a guy who was trying to help people during their sets.
Oh,
and he
my
like did
God.
It during my set. And I remember I got like into like a, it was like an older dude to like a 40-year-old me, like not like 40, like older, but he was like late 40s, early 50s, kind of like, but like towny dude in this bar.
Louis C.K.
Like Louis C.K. No, but it was like a guy who had never done comedy and he was just like, just, I remember getting, I was like, you don't do, like, and I'm, it was like such like a shitty, like sanctimonious, like year, maybe year and a half into comedy, weird bullshit stance to be like, I was like, dude, you don't do this, so you don't know, like that hard. But it's like, dude, it's like a thing where
it's true.
It is, yeah.
It's true. You don't know it till you try it, so don't knock it till you buy it.
Yeah.
I've been Tom Takkar.
I can't wait for guests to start wrapping up there. So they're like, well, I feel like we've said enough about this. But yeah, I don't know. I thought, the casting was all, it felt great.
Mm-hmm.
No one felt, a couple of them,
not that many felt like too old to play high school kids.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. I guess Jason Street's a little bit.
A little
it's
bit.
It's like, that dude is clearly 27 or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
but the rest of everyone, you're like, you can pass as like an adult looking teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Taylor Kitsch could go either way.
Yeah.
The kid who plays Saracen, I thought, looks like an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Even though he's like probably 23 or
yeah,
something.
Like, yeah, you look enough like
but
a
they,
kid.
But they did a good enough job of like keeping everybody consistent. It's it would have been funny if there are like a bunch of 28-year-olds and then one legit 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Why is that 15-year-old making out with that?
Yeah.
yeah, but yeah, I just felt like everybody looks the part. Everybody ends up doing a great job. The guy who plays Streets is kind of lame.
Yeah.
But
I think that's
what that guy is.
I think
that
yeah.
guy would be lame.
Yeah.
Like, he's spent his whole life. Like, Peyton Manning is fucking lame.
Dude,
like,
yeah.
he's a lame guy.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's kind of an asshole, it seems like. He was my favorite player of all time until, like, 2 years ago I found out that he was a huge asshole.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Ever since then, I'm like, eh, fuck the guy. He was my childhood hero, but that doesn't mean he's above being an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still a dork at the bottom of it, too. Like, he did the roast, and, like, I heard, like, he was weird about some jokes, and it's like, fuck you,
yeah.
you piece of shit.
Yeah, that's a weird
thing. You're fine with Papa John, but you can't
yeah.
get out of here.
Yeah, well, that's, like, a lot of, like, I don't know, it's, like, weird, like, sports star like big athletes where
yeah.
you're like on because it's like it's hard for them it's weird to me when an athlete seems cool in real life
sure
like
because yeah.
Michael Jordan like is not cool
he's it's very rare that an athlete's
yeah.
really cool and it's weird when they are like Blake Griffin seems cool like
yeah.
he's funny sometimes like
yeah
because
it's like you spent your whole life focused on this one thing
and you've been good at it forever
yeah.
and everybody sucks your dick because they're like oh this is the thing we as a society we all care about
yeah
so if you're good at it good for you we love you like
yeah
they've not had to deal with adversity in the same way I think a lot of people have. Like Michael Jordan had everybody's story is like well he got cut from varsity his
freshman
year of
yeah.
high school like yeah who gives a shit
yeah
like, that's just part of life like he made it the next year. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, a kid like Jason Streets, it's like, he's going to be religious. They always
yeah.
are.
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Everybody in that show is like, not everybody, like Saracen. That's what I like about the show is it's not just a blanket thing. Like Saracen's a weirdo. Jesse Plemons, his character's a weirdo.
Yeah.
And they're legit. Like, they feel real. It doesn't
yeah.
feel like, oh, that's the kooky guy. He's,
yeah.
like, going to be a dweeb. They feel real, and, like, they build them into very real characters who become cool enough in their own way, just like everybody, like, who is uncool in their way kind of just becomes a normal person.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a decent job of doing that, even though Jesse Plemons kills somebody.
Yeah. I liked his character a lot. I really liked
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
he becomes a
football
yeah.
player, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah. What time is it here?
I
might have to bounce.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, I think we kind of...
I hate to do that.
No. I think we were kind of naturally wrapping up about... Anyway, so... Do you have anything else you want to add about Friday Night Lights?
I do want to say, I was saying that it was the most realistic sports... movie/show.
Yeah.
Second most, Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah.
I believe that Christ is with us all the time
yeah.
when we're out there in the outfield.
I think Rookie of the Year, a child who ends up playing
Dude,
on the Chicago
did I tell
Cubs.
You, a buddy of that, my, that happened to him.
Really?
Well, a buddy of his, like, a buddy of my buddies, like, he got his arm broke, and then he goes, all of a sudden he can throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
He started playing for the Yankees.
Fuck you. You fucking son of a bitch, asshole. I fucking hate you so much.
I thought you guys would know I was lying.
No, I thought it was a thing where it was like...
I did that earlier.
No, I thought it was going to be like...
A buddy of a buddy.
I thought it was going to be a thing where it's like, he broke his arm and he could throw 100 miles an hour, but and that would be the end of the story.
No, he played. He was 14. And he played for the Yankees
fucking,
a couple seasons.
Yeah,
but then it wore off eventually.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
course. And yeah, his buddy. Of
he
a
falls
buddy.
Again and he breaks it again. But now it just goes back to a
no.
Normal
he
arm.
He fucked it. No, he actually fucked it up. He was jerking off really fast.
All right, so you're a piece of shit who doesn't get any plugs. So you did this episode.
Oh come on!
You did this
I
episode
need these plugs,
for no
baby.
Reason. No. Yeah. plug away. You're gonna, you find him at
Strong Arm. He was like, "Oh, I bet I'm gonna come real good at this."
You can find Tom at piece of shit asshole on Twitter and Instagram. No. plug away. All I'm gonna cut it all out anyway.
Check out my podcast. It's called Stand by Your Band. We have comedians come on and they defend music that people make fun of. Like Fall Out Boy or like Coldplay or Bare Naked Ladies or Kid Rock.
Oh fuck! Did you do a Kid Rock episode?
We haven't done it yet. Will Winter wants to. You can
do
it too.
Can I do it too? Will and I are roommates.
Booked.
Yes.
Hell
dude.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't wait. Oh,
you guys are doing Kid Rock. That's gonna be a fun one.
I can't wait, dude.
So,
that's so sick.
Check it out. We have a Patreon that you can also check out where we have bonus episodes. That's patreon.com/standbyyourband. Check me out on Twitter at Tom A. Takar and Instagram at Tom Takar.
Yeah, great.
Oh, can I do one more?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know when this will come out, but
this will be out next week.
Awesome. Me and Tommy McNamara have a monthly show at Caroline's called Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy. It's going to be fucking awesome lineup. It's September 27th, which is a Wednesday at 9:30 p.m., but you can get promo code Mommy for $10 tickets, and it's going to be Joe List, Aparna Nancherla, Sean Donnelly, Christina Hutchinson from the Guys We Fucked podcast, and Martin Urbano, and then a very special secret guest.
Ooh.
So come to that, 9:30, September 27th, promo code Mommy.
Hell yeah. I'm Michael Brucey. I'm at Michael Brucey on everything. You can email the show tvcasualtypod@gmail.com if you want to do anything with that. I have a new stand-up show called Cool World. It's at Mad Tropical in Bushwick. The first show is August 26th, and we also will have Sean Donnelly on
what
it. Also with Emmy Blotnick, who's a writer on The President Show.
She's
and,
been on our podcast.
Yeah, and a bunch of other great comedians. I host that with a former guest of the show, Diego Lopez. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm going to be at Caroline's at the end of the month, at some the 31st of August or something like that. And, yeah, I don't know. I post shows on the internet wherever. And, yeah, that's it. This was great. Awesome. Thanks so much,
me.
Tom. Yeah, this was
so
awesome.
Fun.
Cool. Thanks, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Keep it crispy.